Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, and the first chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I think for the sake of time, I'll just read the first four verses as we begin. Lord willing, I'll be reading more verses from this chapter as we continue. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard the reading of verses 10 and 11. As Brother Vince and I have observed many times, it's always a blessing and encouragement when we see the Sunday school lesson, the Sunday school message, and the morning worship service message working together because we're preaching from the same book. If you have your place now in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll read the first four verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let us bow briefly for prayer. Father, now as we open this precious book, as we open the very Word of God that was given by inspiration, and every jot and tittle of which is profitable to thy people, Father, we thank you that we have thy Word. And Lord, we pray that you would bless it to our hearts for our edification this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We find in the book of Genesis that God created Adam in the garden. God created Adam from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We find in Scripture that the state in which Adam was created was a state of sinless perfection. I was born in sin. Cain and Abel were born in sin. But Adam was created in righteousness. Adam was created in the full, spotless image of God. But Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And we find in Scripture that as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In fact, we find Christ referred to as the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And if you look down to the fourth verse that we read today, there we find in Scripture, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Great and exceeding precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Adam was created with the divine nature. He was made in the full image of God. And yet Adam sinned, and the divine nature within Adam perished. We read in the confessional reading, and again, how marvelous that it dovetails so perfectly with the message for this morning. For we saw there in the confessional reading that false doctrine that would teach that man has a little bit of good left in him. that man has a little bit of godness left in him, that man has what has been called a spark of divinity. It does not exist. It is dead. It is gone. And just as our brother pointed out that a dead man cannot hunger and thirst after righteousness, those that are dead in trespasses and sin do not hunger, and they do not thirst after righteousness until God awakes them from their death. And just as certainly as Lazarus was dead in the grave, and when Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth," Lazarus could not come forth because he was dead. But when Christ called Lazarus from the dead, he gave to Lazarus life that Lazarus could come forth. And so we find that great and precious promises are given to us that by these great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This world is full of corruption. And the unsaved man does not hunger, replace the word hunger with lust. The unsaved man does not lust after righteousness. He lusts after the corruption of this world. And man, untouched by the Spirit of God, will only lust after the things of this world. But to us are given great and precious promises that by these promises we might partake of the divine nature. That which died in Adam is restored in the child of God. Oh, I would love to say we live in perfect sinless righteousness today. We know we do not. As the apostle said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, from this sinful flesh in which I live?" And yet my standing before God is that of perfect righteousness, for there is no sin in heaven, and nothing that defileth can enter therein. But by these great and precious promises, I by faith have partaken of that divine nature. That word "partaken" basically means I'm a partaker. I have my part in Christ. My place in Him is established and is settled. And so to give you the outline for this morning right away, what are these great and precious promises? Well, if you look at verse 1, it says that to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first promise that we have that makes us partakers of the divine nature is the promise of the righteousness of Christ. All my righteousness is filthy rags. All my righteousness cannot avail for my soul. All the good I do is garbage. But I have the promise of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of faith, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we have is through the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, we've obtained like precious faith. But then we find in verse 2, "And grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We have the promise of grace and the promise of peace. For by grace you're saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have peace with God. And that peace comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then number 3. In verse 3, "according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life," to eternal life, "and to godliness," to live in Him, And that again is through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so with that foundation, with that basis, I would like us to look at these first four verses. And I tend to think and speak in mechanical terms because I like mechanical things. Let's open the hood and start disassembling things and see how they work together. See what each part within the verse means to the other parts. A little piece of an engine won't get you anywhere, but when you assemble it all together, you have a working whole. And so it is with Scripture. We compare Scripture with Scripture, and it is one unit. And so we read in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, it says they have obtained this faith. Now, this word obtained is very interesting. It is through the righteousness of God and of Jesus Christ that we have obtained this faith. But this word obtained is not really conveyed in English like we would think of it. If someone runs a race, they obtain the prize. In fact, Paul said, so run I that I might obtain. But it's a totally different word. Because the word Paul used when he said, so run I to obtain, indicates that the individual is doing something to obtain. But this word, obtain, those who have obtained, like precious faith, is actually the casting of lots. Remember when the soldiers at the cross cast lots. In other words, there was nothing they could do to get that garment. It was that the lot fell to them. But in that sense, they were just gambling on a matter of choice, a chance. But what this word means when Peter says that we've obtained, the lot is falling onto us, it indicates a divine direction. This word's only used four times in our New Testament, by the way. When we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 9 of Zacharias and his service in the tabernacle, or in the temple, it says, and according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. In other words, they chose the one who would go in and burn incense by the casting of a lot. In other words, it says, God, you decide who it is. And again, Peter used this word for the calling of Judas. Remember Christ said, I've chosen 12 and one of you has the devil? Was Judas chosen to be a disciple by some act of chance? No. God chose him to that position. And so in Acts 1 verse 17, he was numbered with us and hath obtained his part in the ministry. And that's the four times total that this word is used here in 2 Peter and then with the casting of lots at the cross and Zacharias and Judas. And so when Peter says we have obtained this, it doesn't mean that we've gone out and worked for it. It doesn't mean that we run for it. You might obtain a raise, but it was based on your good job performance. But here, this was simply the choice of God. We've obtained this faith. To those which have obtained, God has appointed them. God has chosen them to their faith. But not only is it obtained faith, but it is like faith. Have obtained like precious faith. This isn't something new or novel. This is not some faith that has been conferred upon you by some false prophet. This is not some faith that some newly come along religion has dreamed up. Peter is not presenting a new way of salvation. He is presenting the same way of salvation by which all the elect have been saved throughout all time. The Old Testament saints were saved by the same faith as the New Testament saints and by the same faith by which you must be saved or you will be eternally lost. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. No prophet of earth, no new idea, no vision that you received last night is going to save you. It was like precious faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. But it was precious faith. They obtained like precious faith. This word precious is only used in this one place in all of Scripture. This is a different word than Peter used in 1 Peter when he talked about the precious blood of Christ. Indeed, we understand that it means of great value. But this like precious faith is used only here. The preaching of the cross is in them that perish foolishness. But unto you which are called, it is the power of God unto salvation. Something as precious is rare. Are there few that be saved? Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life everlasting. Folks, it is like precious faith. Have you obtained it? Have you obtained this like precious faith? Where does it come? It comes through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I am a sinner. I have come short of the glory of God. I have failed in every aspect of righteousness, and all my righteousness is faith, filthy rags. But I call upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ, for I believe that He shed His blood for me. And the cleansing of His precious blood is my only hope before the throne of heaven. And so, the first that we find here is that we've obtained like precious faith. And that like precious faith is not through me, but it's through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But then, with that like precious faith, we find that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where will you find the knowledge of God? Well, I dream such and such. Where will you find the knowledge of God? Well, Prophet Billy Bob says X. Where will you find the knowledge of God? Well, Pastor Joe said, don't trust it. The word of God. Examine everything that Brother Vince says by the word of God. Examine everything that I say by the word of God. If we are preaching from this book and faithfully presenting what this book says, you can rely on it. But don't get hooked on a man.
Right.
Don't get hooked on a name. Search the scriptures. And here we find that grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God. What is grace? Well, grace is simply God's unmerited favor. Grace is simply God's unmerited favor, and may it be multiplied through the knowledge of God. If you look over to the third chapter of this second book of Peter, you'll find that Peter concludes this book with verses 17 and 18, where he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked one, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How is grace multiplied? It's multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. We're to grow in grace. Multiplication indicates a growth. We're not to be static. We have a beautiful little boy with us this morning. And we love to hear the little sounds he makes and see his progress. We watched him go from a babe in arms to crawling around the floor and now taking steps. He's growing. He's progressing. I spent several years working with adults with developmental disabilities. They never developed. They stayed in a baby-like state mentally. How sad that is. Mm-hmm. How tragic when a baby doesn't grow. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. How is it that we grow in this grace? It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And where do we find that? We find it in the Word of God. But not only does it say grace be multiplied, that word grace simply means favor, but also peace be multiplied as well. And this word peace isn't easy to understand as grace. We talk about grace a lot. We know what grace is. But when we think of peace, the common definition of peace is the absence of conflict or the absence of war. That's not what this word means. This word peace that Peter used here actually means spiritual prosperity. That you may grow in grace and you may prosper. The two words are linked together. It is a growing up, a prosperity in spiritual things. It is spiritual prosperity. In Luke 1, verse 79, we had the prophecy of the coming of Christ. And it says, He came to give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Well, Christ said He didn't come to bring peace on earth, the other peace. He came to bring division. But when it says that He would guide our feet in the way of peace, He would guide our feet to spiritual prosperity, that we'd be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. The woman with the alabaster box was known to be a sinner. But in Luke 7:50, and He said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Doesn't mean she's not going to have a fight with her neighbors anymore, but rather go in spiritual prosperity. Your faith has saved you. Now grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But one other place where this same word for peace is used is very interesting. In Luke 19, we find Christ weeping over Jerusalem. And in verse 41 of Luke 19, and when He came near and beheld the city, He wept over it, saying, If thou had have known, how does this peace come? It comes by the knowledge, it comes by hearing. If thou had have known, even thou at the least the day of thy visitation, and the things which belong unto thy peace, unto thy spiritual prosperity, Jerusalem, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. If you knew the things that belong to your peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. Now you don't see where spiritual prosperity dwells. As grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Time is getting away from us very quickly. But let me give you some examples. In the verses 9 through 11, we find that we're to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. That's a spiritual growing experience. Verse 9, But he that lacketh these things cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sin. Well, he doesn't have that knowledge of Christ and of God the Father working in his heart. In Ephesians 4, we find that God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers. Why did He give those? That we might grow in spiritual prosperity. But let's move on to verse 3 because our time is moving along rapidly. And verse 3 this morning almost became the whole message because there's so much here. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. First of all, how is this coming about? His divine power. What weakness is there? His divine power hath given to us all things. How do we get it? It was given to us. Go back to your word obtained. It wasn't that I somehow brought this about, but he has given to us all things. What is lacking in the all? Well, give me something. No! All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. First of all, he's given us all things that pertain to eternal life. And I've kind of hammered this a little bit already this morning. But someone who comes along and tries to add something to the way of salvation is false. You don't need to count a rosary. You don't need to go on a pilgrimage. You don't need to pray to the saints. You don't need to stand on the street corner and give out flowers and chant Hare Krishna or whatever it is. No. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so, we find that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how we get those? Through the knowledge of him. This is life eternal, that ye may know the only true God, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's the knowledge of him. It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5, in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. There's your knowledge. Given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and life eternal. And so he's given us all things that pertain to eternal life. Everything we need to be saved is given to us by his divine power. But then God has given to us all things that pertain to godly life. He's given to us that which is necessary to live in godliness. The problem is we don't do it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise. And so when I sin, it is my failing to resist the devil and not the failing of God's divine power that has given to me all things to resist the devil. Oh, wretched man that I am. I see another law in my members. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, we live in this dichotomy because we are indeed partakers of the divine nature. But we still live in this body of flesh. And so as the apostle said, I die daily. Every day I have to die again to my old sinful nature that dwells within me. But God has given to us all things that pertain to eternal life and all things that pertain to a godly life in him. The failing's not his. It is mine. It's given to him by his divine power. But oh, may his divine power be applied to my weakness every day. For if I do not have his divine power controlling my weakness, there's no sin I'm incapable of committing. And so the psalmist prayed, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. No. And so we read in James, or in Colossians 3, verses 5 and following, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And in verse 7, in which also ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded man is the believer that tries to have one half of his mind in Christ and the other half in Satan. God has given us all things that pertain to eternal life. And God has given us all things that pertain to godly life. But God has also, by his divine power, given us all things that pertain to daily life. To daily life. Our God supplies our physical needs. Our God supplies our spiritual needs. Our God supplies our emotional needs. Oh, how easy it is for us to begin to look at the winds and waves and to sink into the pit of depression. How easy it is for us to begin to think about this world rather than thinking about the world to come. To think about our problems rather than to think about the solution to our problems. How easy it is to be overcome with all that's going around us and forget that God has given us the divine power to overcome those things. Because he's given to us all the things we need for eternal life. He's given to us all the things we need for a godly life before him. And all the things we need to live before him. In peace and joy, but my God shall supply most of your needs. Some of your needs. A little bit of your needs. No, he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And that riches and glory is part of that divine power. What I need to be joyful in the Lord today, he gives me. Don't ask my wife if I'm ever depressed, because she'll be honest with you. You know, and they used to say every preacher quits on Monday night. And, folks, I'm so blessed to be here at Mission Bible Church, because I've lived in that world. But, folks, God doesn't want his people to live as, they used to use the term, sourpuss. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. By his divine power, he's given this to us. And so Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. That word careful means full of care. Don't be overcome by cares. Don't be overcome by the things of this world. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Folks, we've got some in our midst here today that have the peace of God in spite of great trials. Great trials. And I don't mean to embarrass anybody. You know, we know one another. But the peace of God, where's that come from? I don't understand how he goes through all that with a smile on his face. It passes understanding. It's got to be the Spirit of God. It can't be anything else. Where does that come? Well, it comes according to his divine power. Gives it to the believer day by day. And the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Keep not just your inner being, but your mind too. Peace of mind will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I don't see the winds and the waves in there, Peter. You see, Peter started thinking on the wrong things. And oh, how easy it is to start thinking about our problems. To start thinking about the things we lack. To start thinking about our shortcomings. Even our sins will come to haunt us. Oh, Lord, I did that thing a long time ago. But still it comes to my mind. And God, you know I'm sorry and you know I regret it. But oh, how those old sins can come back to haunt us. God has removed them from us as far as the east is the west. Start going west and travel the rest of your days and you'll never meet them. Because they're as far as the east of the west and they're cast in the depths of the sea. Mm-hmm. But But oh, how Satan loves to remind us. We begin to listen to the wrong voice, and we lose that peace. And continuing there in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That doesn't mean the state of Maryland. I don't think many of us are content in the state of Maryland. But we're content in the state of the righteousness of Christ.
Glory.
I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Folks, do you want true godliness? I think you're here this morning because you do. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to, again, Sunday school lesson, are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Did you ever go to school and not have your books? I think most of us forgot a book one time. One time in college, I forgot a class. I was in my room, and I was talking to my roommate and having a good old time. And where I went to Bible college, if you missed a class, you got demerits for it. You had to go before the discipline committee and explain why you missed class. And I remember the day my dad got the letter from the college that I had a zero demerit the semester. It wasn't that one, because I got demerits because I just forgot all about the class. Isn't that how we are spiritually sometimes? If you read your Bible this past week, if you prayed this past week, you see how easy it is for us to forget that though we have the righteousness which was promised there in verse 1, we're still responsible for our daily walk with the Lord. He's given us everything we need for it. He's given us all things that pertain to it. But that doesn't mean we just sit back and be righteous. It means that we are to be diligent about the Master's business. And so we have this glorious promise that the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ is given to us. We have this glorious book where we find the knowledge of God by which grace and peace are multiplied and through which all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us. And that brings us to the first word of verse 4, whereby the righteousness of God and the knowledge of God, whereby are given to us great and exceeding promises, the promise of His righteousness, the word through which we find His righteousness, we find salvation, we find our daily life, whereby are given to us these great and exceeding promises, that by these, by holding the righteousness of Christ, by finding Christ, the knowledge of Him, the Word, by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, that I might have my part in the righteousness that my father Adam lost. As John Wesley said in the old hymn, Adam's likeness now erase, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, sanctify me in thy love. And so, by these great and exceeding and precious promises, we are made partakers of the divine nature. I'm a sinner, folks. But when my Father looks at me, He sees me as perfect and sinless and righteous. Because I have my part in the divine nature of the second Adam. Because the sinful nature of the first Adam has been taken from me. Amen. And the righteousness of God is imputed. And so by these are given us great and exceeding promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This corrupt, lusting world does not cling to the believer, but rather we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Folks, do you know the Savior? No, not know about Him. Mm-hmm. Not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Folks, you're struggling in this world, struggling day by day. Oh, he's given us all things that are necessary for eternal life. He's given us all things that pertain to living a godly life. And he's even given us all things that pertain to living a daily life in this wicked world. Let us stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for thy word. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, who is indeed the interpreter of thy word. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and bless thy word to us. Father, help us. Lord, we do indeed hunger and thirst after righteousness. We do indeed desire to live a victorious life for thee day by day. And yet, Lord, we thank you that, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. You know our frame. You remember that we are dust. Father, help us to live in thee while we live in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name.